We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Priory Podcast, we have our Detroit Lions versus Green Bay Packers final review. We're going to talk about some stuff that we liked in this game, then we're going to talk about some stuff that we didn't like in this game. We also bring up a big discussion about if Penei Sewell should stay at left tackle or if they should move him back to right tackle when Taylor Decker comes back. We'll discuss about that all on episode 194 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in! Jared Goff!
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! TJ Hawkins, yes! They did it! They tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 194 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler. Jumbo, my main man, as always, Malcolm. How you doing today, my man?
Woo, man. Positive, I'm doing a lot better.
A little more positive in this episode than, you know, our instant reaction after the game yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing a lot better. I rewatched the game. There's some good things I saw from the game, and it did make me feel a lot better. I did calm down because I did lose some money on this game. So, besides that, I'm doing A-okay.
No, I feel you. No, and that's why I was very upset, because I had skin in the game. I bet on the spread, and if the Lions got a touch on the end of the game, I wouldn't have been as depressed as I was in that post game. I really wouldn't have.
Me neither. And actually, I bet for the total score. I also bet on the game, but I also bet the side bet also on the total score. So even though I knew, like, all right, I knew that the Lions lost, if I would have came up on the total score, I would have pretty much broke even. So I'd have been okay. But we're one touchdown short. So I feel like an idiot.
Yeah. Again, you know, we're not sponsored right here, but Barstool Sports had a nice promo code in Michigan. If you bet on the Lions spread, they were giving away a hoodie. I think if it was like if you bet $100, and win, lose, or draw, you get the hoodie. So, I mean, at the very least, I got a Lions hoodie out of it, and it's a pretty sick hoodie. So I'm excited to get it.
It's a Lions hoodie?
It's a Lion hoodie. It's really sick. I'll send you a picture. It's okay. It says made in Detroit. It's got like a football, like a skull in the middle. It's really sick.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's, I mean, at least you got something, man.
I got something. I got something, you know? So at least I got a hoodie out of it.
I just took a nail. That's all
I lost your money. But hey, you know what we do? We rebound next week on sports betting.
Oh, fuck it.
I might be trying to retire.
Yeah, I'll see.
Well, as you could tell by now, Peter's not with us today. He isn't feeling all 100%. It's not from the game, just not 100% today. So he won't be with us today. So just me and Malcolm today. We're going to talk about this Lions-Packers game in more extent from our last episode where, like I said, that was instant reactions 5-10 minutes after the game. And, you know, I like that we got the instant reaction. I still think we got a lot to, you know, we covered a lot in that, but I still think there's a lot more to cover because now there's obviously more details. You know, you sat down, like Malcolm said, he rewatched the game. So now he's looking more from a standpoint where he's not involved, the emotions are not as involved to the game, where he could actually pay attention to what's happening. And, you know, we have numbers now. We could look at PFF and all this outside sources. So, obviously, this is going to be a lot more organized podcast. So, I'm just going to kick it off to you, Malcolm. You know, obviously, you said you rewatched the game. You know, from your pure emotions watching last night compared to watching a second go around, you know, what was the difference overall for you, you know, as far as, because you said, it was more positive for you. So what makes that positive for you?
I think, you know, watching it a second time, our defense definitely played a lot better than I expected them to, I guess, the first go around. And some players who I thought were, as I can say, I was scared. I feel a lot better about these guys. I'm going to just throw one name out there who I've been giving shit all week. Number 27, Bobby Price. I see you laughing. I see you smiling. No, seriously. Bobby Price in the second half looked really well. He looked really well. And I think it's because he plays safety. He's able to tackle really, really, really well. He made some great key tackles on the edge. And he played well in coverage. Bobby Price is a guy who I'm actually excited about now. I was scared at first, but now after seeing Bobby Price perform, I feel a lot better about Bobby Price. Another guy who I am going to bring up as well is your boy, Alex Anzalone. I know we gave him a hard time. Yeah.
Well, my fault. But that's fair. I was saying that was fair. Yeah, to Alex Anzalone. Yeah.
Alex Anzalone. Now, we gave him hell over the last episode. But after listening to Dan Campbell's comments, his presser, and how he was saying how he is definitely always around the ball, when I watched it a second time, I saw that. I was like, oh, shit. He is always around the ball. Whenever they make a catch or something, you always see him there. So that is a positive. Even though he did make some, you know, he had the I believe it was a pass interference, or it was like a holding call that he had on Tonyan. And but I think he played better than I thought he did originally.
Yeah.
And the guy who I think is taking his place,
Jamie Collins.
And I just think Jamie Collins, and it's a toss up between Jamie and Jamie and Trey Flowers.
Yeah, the Patriot boys.
I think it's a toss up between them, like who played the worst. I don't think Jamie Collins played that bad, because in the run game, he played really well. He played really well in the run game, but he's just a liability in the pass game. Same thing goes with Trey Flowers. So, I mean, those are two things. Those are pretty much the things I noticed the second time around in that game.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. Alex Anzalone actually got some praise from Dan Campbell in his press conference on Monday. You know, saying, like you mentioned, he was all around the ball. And it was true. I mean, you know, it just wasn't a very good match for him. And there's not going to be very many good matchups for him, if that's the case, of what they put him in this week. And, you know, trying to keep up with Aaron Jones or keep up with fast running backs, that's not his game. And, you know, you give him credit for being around the ball, but at the same time, this guy's on a long-term piece, so it's not like a huge concern. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, he's just a stopgap right now. And, you know, Dan Campbell also in his press conference today mentioned that Derek Barnes is expected to have a role this Sunday. So, it's to be determined. But, you know, I'm excited, because obviously this linebacking corps needs some help right now. I mean, like we mentioned, Alex Anzalone, even though he was around the ball, I still think it's fair both ways. Like, you could still criticize him for that performance. It wasn't a great performance by any means by Alex Anzalone.
It wasn't
as bad as I think as we initially thought it was.
Yeah,
but it still wasn't a good performance.
It wasn't good, but he was definitely, I mean, hands down, our best linebacker.
Well, I mean, there's only two of them that play, him and Jalen.
There's only two.
Oh, Jalen Maven got a couple.
I was going to say, Jalen Maven got some snaps.
I'm looking at the defensive snaps right now. He got only three snaps.
He got three snaps. Yeah, so he got, I mean, those like a package that they had, like a 4-3 package where they had him out there.
I saw that. Yeah, I remember that.
But, Alex Anzalone, he looks like I mean, out of those linebackers that played, he looks like the best one. I mean, Jamie Collins, I mean, he was the main guy giving up those touchdowns to Aaron Jones in the flats. Whenever they did the misdirection plays and just Jamie Collins couldn't catch up. Or whenever they threw a swing pass to Aaron Jones, Jamie Collins just couldn't catch up.
I think looking at the big picture, not just in this game in general, but the big picture with Jamie Collins, obviously he wasn't brought in by Brad Holmes. But like I mentioned in our last post-game show, was Brad Holmes restructured his contract. So he could have moved off Jamie Collins this year a lot easier, I would say. Like, it's still a movable contract, but it was a lot easier to move off of if they didn't restructure the deal, which they restructured the deal. So now, you know, if the Lions say, you know, we don't want Jamie Collins on our 53 next year, you're adding more debt cap than it initially was. So, you know, it's interesting that Brad Holmes did that because, and I think from the fan perspective, or at least from our perspective, Jamie Collins doesn't really look like a fit for this defense. At least doesn't look like a long-term fit.
To me, he doesn't look like a middle linebacker on this defense.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't think that should be his role. He's too big. Yeah. And what you want guys to play sideline to sideline. And we saw last week that's not Jamie. Jamie Collins can't play sideline to sideline. He's a really good. He could play the run really well.
So you put him at the outside linebacker?
I mean, shoot. If I had it my way, that's what I would do. Because I think our outside linebackers are struggling. Both Romeo and Trey Flowers, I think they're both struggling, especially in coverage. Yeah. But I think if you were to move Jamie to one of those positions, I think he'd be able to cover the flats better than those guys. Because now he's not in the middle of the field. He's already on the outside, so he's just got to cover the flats. So I think that he will play that position a little bit better. And as far as stopping the run, he's good as far as, like, you know, stopping the run. So I think he will be a better outside linebacker than what we have now. But as far as the middle linebacker, that's just not him. I mean, for this defense,
he needs
what we need is we need guys that could fly. Derek Barnes.
Yeah. And when we saw him on the Patriots, too, obviously a different system than what we're running right now, but they moved him everywhere. Like, he was at that Jack linebacker spot. He played the middle. He was everywhere. And he even had, I believe, 8 sacks in that 2019 season with the New England Patriots, if I'm not mistaken, when lined up in the outside.
Something like that. Something like that.
Yeah, so, like, he can get to the quarterback. I don't know how consistent it is, because we haven't seen that person in Detroit because they haven't really put him in that position. I mean, sometimes – and Patricia's system, we saw him, you know, use him in different ways where he would rush him up the middle sometimes in the 3-tech spot. Or I didn't really see Patricia put him too much at the outside linebacker spot. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're onto something, because you mentioned our outside linebackers are not really performing too well right now, including guys like Trey Flowers, Romeo Aquara. Julian Aquara only getting 4 snaps in this game. Charles Harris got 26 snaps in this game, and I believe actually had a sack in this game.
He had a sack. He did have a sack.
He had a sack. And then Austin Bryant was a healthy scratch this game.
Yeah. Our edge rushers, they definitely got to play better. And maybe it could be a thing of, you know, they're still learning. You know, this is their first time standing up. You know, they're standing up like outside linebacker versus, you know, the hands in the dirt guys. So maybe it's going to take some adjusting. You know, them in coverage, they're probably not used to being in coverage like this. But now they're chasing guys. It's tough. It's not really their forte.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting going forward, especially for certain game plans, too. Like, you're not going too extreme to the next game versus the Baltimore Ravens. But, like, you know, with Lamar Jackson's speed, will the Lions maybe run more 3 linebackers instead of the 5-man front? You know, I think that's possible, right?
That's going to be tough. And I know when we break that down, we'll probably figure something out, but
yeah,
I'm not even trying to think about that.
I know,
right? My brain is just I can't even think about Lamar Jackson right now, but
yeah, no, fair enough.
Detroit Lions football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Detroit Lions tickets anymore, because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that all the other ticket sites charges, which let them guarantee the best price on all the NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you find a better price for the same seats on another ticket site, Tipic will give you 110% of the difference in your purchase price. So if you're looking for tickets for the upcoming Detroit Lions versus the Baltimore Ravens at Ford Field, then Tickpick got you covered. Visit tickpick.com/pridepodcast today and use promo code PRIDEPODCAST to save $10 on your first order of your Detroit Lions tickets.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, you mentioned the defense looked better. And I agree, man. I want to go on to a comment that Dan Campbell said right after the game on Monday night. So he says he puts the game on the offense just because of how the game was going. He puts the game on the offense, why they lost his game, because obviously the Packers were scoring points at will. So what's your thoughts on Campbell's comments? Do you agree with him there, or do you think this is on the defense, or are you with Campbell? Do you think this is on Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions offense?
I mean, yeah, it is on the offense. I mean, the defense, they played lights. I think they played as, you know, they don't have the personnel, but they played as well as they could. And I'm talking about as well as they could. In the first half, Aaron Rodgers was 8 for 10, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. I get the 2 touchdowns. But this is the main thing right here. Devontae Adams had 3 catches for 29 yards in the first half. And you talking about with our secondary being banged up, they had, in the first half, they had Devontae Adams, 3 catches for 29 yards. And at that point, there was no other receiver that caught a ball from Aaron Rodgers. So they're playing really, really well. Even though that looked like it was a back-and-forth game, the defense, they play smart. I mean, that game plan of playing two safeties high, you know, you have this, your seven-man front, and you kind of let them, you know, you're letting the Packers run the ball, but you're making an effort to stop it. So I like the game plan. I love the game plan. The defensive game plan, AG, he's the real deal. And I'm hoping that we could keep this guy around because he might be a candidate for head coach because he's doing a phenomenal job from the pieces that we have. And another big thing that regarding that game, too, and the reason why I put it in the offense as well is because, I mean, we did have the turnovers. You know, we had the 2 turnovers. You know, Jared Goff fumbled twice. You know, he did throw – I mean, he fumbled twice. He covered one, but he threw the interception. That 4th-and-1 play. So we, you know, that's a turnover there. We gave the Packers the ball again. So yeah, we got to execute. We got to execute better. Yeah, as far as offense, they got to execute better, especially in the, when the game is going back and forth like this. You can't shoot yourself in the foot. Yeah. Like you can't have these penalties that's gonna
make you have longer drives than you're supposed to. You can't, you need, and when you get in drives like that, the fourth and one, which I can, you know, watching the second time around, the fourth and one play that everybody's saying that their guy's wide open. Okay. Watching the second time, you kind of get what Jared Goff was going in that play. And it's still no excuse for missing. He had three wide receivers. He had three people open that play. The whole damn right side, the middle of the field and right side was wide open. You had Swift, you had St. Brown, and you also had
T.J. Hawkins,
and you also had Raymond.
Khalif, yeah, be right, in the flat, yep.
Khalif Raymond was also wide open. So you had to get wide open. Now, in that fourth and one play, Eric Stokes, first, he just got in the game. Did I say, is his name Eric Stokes?
Eric Stokes, yep, from Georgia. All right,
from Georgia. So this, he just got into the game. Eric Stokes, rookie just got in the game. And I guess when Jared Goff was looking at that play, he was trusting his man to beat the rookie. He was testing the rookie. And I get it, but he did have three guys open. But he was testing the rookie. And I'll say this, Eric Stokes.
He's legit.
He is. I don't think he gave up a catch.
Didn't, no. He came in. He came in that second half of the game, and he balled out. I think he should start,
They tried him four times.
He should start. Kevin King is boo-boo. Yeah, I know we're not a Packers pod, but it's time, man. There's a reason why Eric Stokes was drafted in the first round. The Packers can take another weapon.
Yeah, that was their second half adjustment. They started Stokes. In the third quarter. We tried him four times, and we came up 0-4 against him. Yeah. And I think that's the reason why he went. That was the first shot they took at Eric Stokes. So I guess he wanted to test them. But that guy's the real deal. So
there's just a time and place to test guys like that, though, right? Like if that was a third and one, sure, do it. If it's a second and one, go for it. First and 10, go for it.
Yeah.
Fourth and one, go for the safe play. I know it's a rookie. You want to test him.
The thing is with that play, Jared Goff didn't turn his head.
I know.
As soon as he called hike, he looked right at Cephas and tried to make the play.
He's not making
the play. So if he would have just turned his head for like a couple seconds, he would have said, oh, shit, I have four guys wide open right here. Yeah. But he didn't do that.
Yep.
So I think that's something that I guarantee you. They're going to show Jared Goff that play, you know, when they go over film, which they probably already did. And he probably was like, fuck. You know, what the hell?
And that play, once, you know, they got the turnover on downs, like I said yesterday, I still think this stands. I think that's what brought all momentum down for the Lions and all momentum towards the Packers. You got that fourth and one. The Packers get that fourth and one stop. They march on the field to get a touchdown. It's now a two-score game.
It was a close two-score game. I mean, it wasn't like
no.
It wasn't down by like 14.
No.
But we're like down by 11. It was 11.
Yeah.
It was an 11-point game.
So, yeah, it was 28-7.
And then the very next play, when we get the ball, what happens? You know, we fumble the snap.
Right.
So the very first play. So everything just went downhill.
Yeah.
Everything just went downhill fast. But positive from that game, our run defense played well the second half. I know the first half didn't look all well because, you know, we're playing high. But the second half, we played well.
They did, but then with them having to switch up their defensive game plan a little bit, it opened up the passing game for the Packers a little bit because the Packers couldn't really pass the ball. So, like I said it yesterday, and I still think this stands too. It was pick your poison. Do you want Rodgers to beat you with his arm, or do you want this run game to beat you? Because they don't have the personnel to really stop either at a consistent level. It's like you can't say, hey, we have a strong run defense, so let's just rely on our run defense. Or we have a strong secondary, so let's rely on our secondary. We'll stack the box a little bit more. The Lions don't have that personnel where they have that advantage. They kind of they had to pick their poison. AG's like, okay, we couldn't stop Aaron Jones in the first half. Let's try dialing up a little more pressure in the second half and letting Rodgers sling a little bit. And he was able to. He connected with the 50-yarder with Davante Adams and made some nice passes to Robert Tonyan. It was pick your poison. There wasn't really a win situation with Aaron Glenn where he got a call, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then you got also a factor in that's when, you know, second half, that's early in the quarter, that's when we lost Malafontu.
Yeah, no, and that's when they obviously had to switch up the game plan as well.
Who, you know, I want to put on record, played really, really, really well.
He did.
Really, really, really well. For a rookie to come in there, he was something that, you know, Lions fans hopefully could come back. I don't even know what the extent of the injury is. I know it's a quad.
Yeah.
Is it a tear? Is it a contusion? What do you know exactly what the injury is?
So Campbell did not sound optimistic. When they interviewed him, they said he's going to miss significant time and he shouldn't be back anytime soon. But like, it just sounds like he's going to be out for a minute.
Yeah. And I'm a guy.
It blows.
Yeah. I hope it's not a tear, a quad tear, because I had that before and that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
That's just tough, man, because like we mentioned, this is a rebuilding season, so you want to see the development of these type of players going forward. And he had an opportunity, obviously, with Noah Okuda, and he got to step in, and he was doing his job. He was doing his job in the first half and then suffered the injury, which looks like he'll probably be placed on IR. I would assume by the time you guys are listening to this on Wednesday, I would assume he's probably on IR by now, but if not, probably very soon. He's not playing this Sunday versus the Ravens. Like, that's just a given. Campbell said at the very least a couple weeks. That's the very least.
And also another thing, man, like, if I would have told you last year when we had Pencilhead as our head coach that Aaron Jones was going to get 17 carries, like, if I would have told you that Aaron Jones was going to get 17 carries, how many yards do you think Aaron Jones would have against Pencilhead?
17 carries, 120 yards.
120 yards.
At least.
All right. So Aaron Jones' game had 17 carries. He has 67 yards, 3.9 average. He had one touchdown on the ground.
How many receiving yards did he have?
Receiving yards, that's when he killed us because we had no answer for him on the flats. It was terrible.
Yeah,
he had 6 receptions, 6 catches, 48 yards, 3 touchdowns. And that just goes to not be able to, you know, cover the flats. I think all of our linebackers were just awful. Are covering the flats. Every time that there was a swing pass or a misdirection play, it was just wide open. Wide open, and he could pretty much moonwalk to the end zone. That's how bad it was. We need help. need help. We need faster guys, man. And this is something that Dan Campbell is realizing, that, you know, with the team that he's inherited from Pencilhead, that he needs faster guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's crazy to me that people are already trying to pin this point on Dan Campbell, and they're already trying to start this wagon, man. Like, how are we doing this already? Like, I know I'm not going to speak for majority of Lions fans. I'm not going to even say 90% of Lions fans, but there's that very little bit of that percentage of Lions fans that are really trying to put this on Campbell.
What they're saying? Right now. What they're saying? Here we go again. Same team.
Yep. Same old Lions. Here we go.
Oh,
same.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
If they don't see what's going on here with this coaching staff. They just—it's simple. They don't know football.
Yeah,
it's as simple. It's as simple as that. They don't know football, man. They can't. Like, even the media is even like, "Oh, I see what's going on here."
I mean, what coach could step in and the team that they inherited would do any different than 0-2 right now?
Yeah, this is not the Pencilhead situation. Who inherited a 9-7 situation? 9-7 team. He inherited a.
Hold up. Did he inherit the worst roster in the NFL? Like, I mean, the worst. I think he inherited the worst situation out of all the head coaching vacancies.
Yeah.
Brad Holmes and Campbell.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that was on the team last year were so scared of what Pencilhead did. They wanted to run out of Detroit as fast as possible. Damn near everybody.
Yeah. And the guys that are still left over are performing well. Trey Flowers, not fit. Jamie Collins, not fit. Jeff Okuda. Was struggling very badly. Will Harris, probably not a long-term answer, but like the list goes on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just been bad. Like the roster is just not there. I get it. It's tough. I don't want to go too far into it, but it's tough, man. It is tough. I think this team, they just have to run the ball more, and that's what. That's what took me out as far as like why I was kind of disappointed. This is the number of carries our running backs are getting. I think it has to be a lot higher because they're putting too much faith in Jared Goff, which is, I mean, he played phenomenal the first half. If we look at Jared Goff the first half, he looked like everything that we wanted him to be, everything we thought he could be. He just looked phenomenal. I mean, he was 13 for 16, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks. And that's a big part. A big part of that is our offensive line, which is, I think, doing a phenomenal job.
We're just going to talk about that.
Week two doing a phenomenal job. There was a play that they actually did in the second quarter to end the first half. It was their last drive, and Jared Goff had the ball. It was second and eight, and they dead ass gave Jared Goff almost 5 seconds in the pocket. I had the timer out. It was like 4.8 seconds.
They asked Jared Goff that question. So I believe the official stat was, I heard this on The Ticket this morning, I believe. So they interviewed Jared Goff. I believe the amount of time he had in the pocket was the second highest ever in his career.
It wasn't until the second half when they started bringing more people, more pressure. That's the thing about Jared Goff that I hope he improves, and that's what gave him trouble with the Rams, is that when he's pressured,
he panics.
He panics. Yeah, he panics. Sometimes do wild shit.
He like just doesn't like look at his reads. I was looking at a play. This was week one versus the Niners. Jared Goff, I think he has a play action, escapes. I believe there's a linebacker chasing, or it was either an undersher or linebacker. I don't remember exactly who was chasing him. Someone was chasing him, has Khalif Freeman wide open for like a 30-yard completion. It was in that fourth quarter too, when they're making that comeback. And
he didn't let it go.
Just panicked, and I think he had like that 1 yard scramble, goes out of bounds, wastes like, you know, a good 7 seconds when, you know, it was the last drive of the game, you know. Khalif Raymond was down the field for at least 30 yards.
Wow. Yeah, that's something he gotta get better at. Hopefully, you know, as the season goes on, he gets better at, you know, stuff like that.
I mean, it's just kind of a repetitive thing at this point. It's not like he's a year one player and he's, you know, still making this. It's the same mistakes for now since his whole career, since he's been drafted in 2016. Like, he gave him the pass his rookie season. He gave him the pass probably year two. But, like, it comes to a certain point where it's the type of guy Jared Goff is. He panics under pressure when a guy is in his face. It's just, that's not a good sight.
Yeah. I mean, that just, it's tough. It's tough, man, but. We'll see. We'll see how things on the folds on that end. But regarding this game, what's your final thoughts on this game, man?
All right, well, my final, some quick thoughts. I like your point on the defense. The defense is getting a bunch of shit. And, like, we know they're not good. The defense is not good.
No, they're not
good. I'm not saying they're good. But they're not the reason they lost this game. I'm with Dan Campbell here. They're not the reason they lost this game. I think, you know, getting stops on third downs. They got a big sack on Aaron Rodgers. Got the ball back to the Lions offense. That was the end of the first half. The Lions get the ball. They kick a field goal to end the half. That was good execution by the Lions. Getting some points before the half. Not giving any time to Green Bay. Good execution. The Lions got a nice third down sack. And then to even open up the half, do you remember how they opened up the half of the Green Bay Packers? What happened? So it was 17-14 Lions. What did the Packers do? Did they get a touchdown?
Yes, they did. They just marched down the field and got
that touchdown. That was a Tonyan touchdown, right?
That was the Tonyan touchdown.
Okay, so 21-17. That was when I wanted to see Jared Goff step in. And I know you can blame the defense for giving up the touchdown.
Whatever. No, you can't. I mean, it's the Packers. It's the Packers.
Yeah, and you don't have the personnel. You want to see your quarterback and your offense step up to the adversity and score some points there. If you score a field goal, okay, 1 point game. You score a touchdown, you get the lead back. And then it's 24-21 at that point. But with Jared Goff, you know, and the thing was, too, they were orchestrating a good drive as well. It started off with the Godwin Igbuke, the former safety from Northwestern. he gets a good return to start off, you know, the drive. Gets him to, I believe, the 35 or 40-yard line. And the Lions get to the 50-yard line, orchestrating a good drive, you know, get a 4th-and-1 situation they have to convert. And then after that, it's just, you can't hand the ball back to Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay already down to the score, and you give up a 4th-and-1. You just can't do it. If it's, you know, a bad team, maybe, but if it's Green Bay, good teams are gonna, you know, they're gonna capitalize on your misadvantage, and they're gonna score down the field and make it a 2-score game. It's just gonna it makes the game a lot more difficult on your defense. And it makes it more difficult on your offense, especially on an offense that you're relying on a lot on the run. If you're relying on a lot on the run, going down 11 points is not ideal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to blame this. So I don't want to, because I'll say this. The play calling was phenomenal. It was great. They had a good, you know, play calling this game. I'm not going to blame it on that. But what I would say is on these short yardage, some of these plays, and I know it didn't work last week where they tried to fourth and one play, and they tried to run it right at the gut, but you know, the Williams slipped and he didn't get it.
This is a different matchup. I mean, the Green Bay A-gaps compared to the San Francisco 49ers A-gaps, significantly different.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know they want to put the ball in Goff's hand, and they all these 3rd-and-1s and 4th-and-1s, you think they were just running right up the gut? They were passing these plays.
They were
passing on these plays. And I think they got to go back to the basics. I know they're trying to be pretty right now, but they just got sometimes you got to go back to the base. Like, that that 4th-and-1 play with Jared Goff that, you know, he tried to hit Cephas, I think it would have been a lot different. It was just went big up front, got Williams back there, and just say, get this first down.
And if you miss on that opportunity, you gave yourself a fighting chance.
That's fine. You know, it's fine.
You said, I'm going to trust my trenches for your trenches.
Exactly.
And when you're going into the game, I think we agree the Lions offensive line was better than the Green Bay Packers defensive line.
It was. I mean, our running backs weren't playing bad.
I'm saying, if the Packers get the stop, okay, tip of your hat. You made the stop, you get the tip of your hat. Okay, it is what it is. But, like, I think you got to try. I agree with you, especially when you got this Lions offensive line that was balling. And like you mentioned, they were setting up good running gaps, too, all game. And your running backs got good vision, too. They're not going to make a stupid run. They're gonna look for a hole.
It's not like how it was in the past. Remember our old regime where we had, like, fucking LeGarrette Blount averaging 1.2 yards per carry? Or AP, you know, like this game, we had Swift averaging 4.6 yards per carry.
Yeah.
You know, Williams, he was averaging 3.6, which is not the best, but he was getting those short, tough yards.
And that's been Jamal Williams' career, and that was versus former team. That's Jamal Williams' career, you know, striking in those short line situations or in the goal line. Like, that is Jamal Williams, and that's why you brought him in the offseason.
Exactly. To convert those short, you know, those tough yards. And I'm pretty sure Campbell, when he goes back to tape, he's going to say, look, we can't put so much pressure on Jared Goff.
Yeah.
We can't ask Jared Goff all the time to convert these 4-and-1 plays. Shit, go big. Run the goddamn ball. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to say that it's the play calling fault, because other than those plays, I think they played really well. The play calling was very well. Like, that screenplay that, you know, they'll do a lot of good shit.
Yeah.
I just wish that, because, you know, second half, they went away from the play action, the bootlegs, all that stuff they do that would work so well for them. They went away from that, but they need to go back to that.
Yeah. And it's hard to, like, just pinpoint on one play to, like, take all the credit away from the offensive performance, because it was a good offensive performance in the first half. But, like, that's the difference from keeping in the game and losing a game. And, like, it is what it is. Like, that play was very important. That was a very important play right there. And just wasn't, you know, I don't even think the play call was bad itself. It was just, you could say the play call, but Jared Goff just got to make multiple reads in that situation, too. You got to look around the whole field and see what's the best scenario. Like, I understand there's a rookie out there and you want to try him, but you gotta just play safe there. You can't be too sexy on that play.
You do. That's what I say. It's not really the play calling fault, because in that play, like I said, there was like 4 or 5 guys wide open in that play.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I mean, like I said, in those short yardage, maybe you don't ask Jared Goff to make those plays. Yeah. Maybe you just go big and just get the first down.
I mean, if you have an elite quarterback, it's one thing. If that was Stafford, I don't think we're complaining right now. But, like, Jared Goff is, you know, it's not the same type of game manager as a different quarterback. So it just is what it is, you know.
Yeah. 4th-and-1, 4th-and-inches. I just hope going forward they realize that maybe they just need to run the ball, because our O-line's our strength, man.
It is the biggest strength on this football team right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, this is a good transition. You brought up the offensive line, and we got to talk about this now, because this is now 2 weeks in a row. Penei Sewell, he's at left tackle, had a good outing again this week on Monday Night Football. What are you doing here now? This is getting interesting now. I mean, I don't think you can move to the right side anymore.
Yeah, Penei Sewell, man. I don't know. I don't know what they do. It's weird, because when I watched them play last week, you would think that all the runs, and even though the commentator was saying, oh yeah, they're running behind 58. They weren't running on the left side.
They're running most on Matt Nelson's side, yeah.
They were running, like, they were relying on Vitae and Ragnow and getting those holes and running through that. And even Matt Nelson, which I don't understand, but they're running to the right side. They're running to the right side. They barely made any running plays to the left side. And that could be, I'm not sure if they were, if the Packers were stacking that side. I don't think so. But it doesn't make sense why they were just running to the right side. Maybe they like the right side. Maybe they feel like that'll be their strength, especially if they're running the ball. You know, you got, you know, run blocking. You got, you're talking about Frank Ragnow, Vitae, and then you put Sewell back there running the ball. That's a really good wall. That's a really good wall on that side. Now, as far as, you know, playing the rush, the pass rush, it's going to be a little bit tough for Sewell because you saw him struggle in the preseason.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know, man. If Taylor Decker does come back and we put him to the right side and he struggles just as much as Sewell, what do you do?
It's tough because Penei Sewell is obviously, or Penei Sewell, I always say Penei. Wait, is it Penei?
It's Penei.
Penei. Penei. I always say Penei. Penei Sewell, you know, if Decker struggles at right tackle, but like the thing is, you drafted Penei Sewell at the 7th overall pick. Like he's only 20 years old. Exactly. And, you know, I think it's more important to protect the blind side than him to play right tackle. Like I think he is a luxury. And I think we should just go forward and develop him at left tackle. He looks comfortable there. He's been a left tackle his whole career in Oregon. Like I don't like Decker. Is honestly obviously on a long-term contract right now. Like we have him for another 5 more years, but Penei Sewell has the potential to be your left tackle for, if everything goes well, health wise, and he's a baller, he could be your left tackle for the next 10 years.
He can be, but what happens if he does learn the right tackle position and he picks it up?
Well, that's what I'm saying, but do you want to risk moving him out of a position he's doing well out of right now and try that right now? I don't know. That's risky to me.
It is risky. But, I mean, it won't hurt him to learn both positions and master both positions.
Mm-hmm.
It won't hurt him. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I think if, you know, Taylor Decker writes out his contract or we get to the point that he's movable and we, you know, move him and we just flip Sewell, you know, Penei back to the left side, I don't think it will hurt him.
Okay, how about this? So, when Decker comes back, do you think they should start him at right tackle? Just to start off and see how he does.
That they could. And yeah, they could. And then the thing is, though, what I'm worried about is, what if he's struggling just as much as Sewell does? Or
that's what I'm saying.
Worse?
But I'm saying, should we give Decker the opportunity and, you know, the tryout to see what he could do at right tackle. And if he struggles, then we can have a different, you know, this is a different, obviously, question when that happens. But, like, do you think we should just continue developing Sewell at the time being at left tackle?
It's
a tough decision.
It's a really tough decision. But I'll say this. Sewell on the right side does make that running game better because they're with that wall between Ragnow, Vitae, and Frank Ragnow all next to each other. I think they'll be able to create giant gaps on that side. And I think Penei, even at this stage, is a much better run blocker than Taylor Decker. So I think with that wall, you put them to each other, I think that makes the running game better. I just don't know about.
And pass pro.
Yeah, and pass pro, it does make him weaker. But it's tough, man. That's why I said, like, what would we do? What do you do if Taylor Decker is worse?
At right.
And I'm talking about then Penei Sewell.
I think you just got to try it, though. I think you got to see where it goes. And if Decker doesn't work out at right tackle, then I think it's a different conversation. But I think as of right now, I'm looking at Penei Sewell as a guy who could be our starting left tackle for the next 10 years. I think that's more important than putting Taylor Decker at left tackle. Like, I know Taylor Decker's got a lot of flexibility on his contract. We extended him. That's fine. But as far as the long-term plan and him being a Brad Holmes type of guy, too, because he was drafted by Holmes, I don't know, man. I just want to see where this goes because he's getting better and better. I know it's only 2 weeks in, but he's looking very promising in this in his early career.
His upside is a lot higher than Decker.
Taylor Decker. Yeah, like Decker.
His upside is way higher.
Which is a good, he's a good player, obviously. Decker's a good player.
You know, yeah. He's what, do you consider him like a top 10 tackle?
Maybe
like number 10.
At least.
Top 15. Yeah, definitely in the top 15.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. He's in the top half for sure, no doubt.
Yeah. But you're talking about a future potentially all pro.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you want to risk taking that out? I mean, Penei Sewell's always been a left tackle. And he's obviously a lot more comfortable there because we saw in the preseason he wasn't comfortable at right tackle.
He wasn't comfortable at all. It looked bad. Like, his first step wasn't right.
I mean, I've never played the position, obviously, and you haven't played the position. Neither. But
it's playing corner is similar because when I played corner, I was really comfortable on the left side. When you put me on the right side, I wasn't that comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that.
Yeah, I saw, who the hell was it? I don't remember who it was. It was a former offensive lineman. He said it's like wiping your ass with your right or left hand. Some people could do it, some people can't.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, man. It's not as easy, man. That's why people like they, when we drafted him, it was like, yeah, you can move them all around. And I mean, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough.
It's like switching, you know, handwriting. It's like switching, like writing with your left. If you've been a righty your whole life and trying to write with your left hand, like it's not easy. Like maybe you'll get the hang of it one day, but like you may never get the hang of it.
Yeah, so that's something that.
But we like the ass wiping analogy better. I think that's more funny than handwriting.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, whatever happens, happens. I think no matter what they do, I think getting Decker back is going to be a plus because. Yep. He's better than Matt Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Just put that out there. He's better than Nelson. Way better than Nelson.
That's not even a question. That's not even
Yeah, debate. So it's gonna improve our offensive line, make us even better. So I can't wait for that to happen.
Yeah.
But, man.
Well, yeah, I'm just all in. Put Penei Sewell at left tackle and see how it goes. If Taylor Decker struggles at right tackle, we'll talk about this again. We'll have another conversation on this. But the best case scenario is, I think, Penei sticks at left tackle. He keeps it developing, keeps being a baller, and Taylor Decker's just a fine right tackle. That would be best case scenario, obviously.
If that happens, man, that'll be best case scenario. Taylor Decker just embraces the role, comes out, and then performs well.
Just like how he's been, you know. Or yeah, like even if it's a minor drop off, I'm fine with that too.
I don't know, man. A minor drop off. I think it's gonna take him some games to be comfortable because. He hasn't played this position and since college. And I don't think he played it full time. I think he's stepped in. Is he the full time right tackle? No, because like every time I looked at a play with Taylor Decker, he was on the left side.
I don't know exactly, but I know he played right tackle at some point at Ohio State.
I know he definitely took some snaps at right tackle.
I don't know if he was ever like.
I don't think he ever was.
Tackle. I don't know if he's ever.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he was the full time starting right tackle.
If I remember correctly, I mean, this is back to 2016, but from like the draft standpoint, I think I remember him protecting the blind side. Like,
yeah,
that
he was. Cause I went back and watched some college tape of Decker.
Yeah.
Because when I heard that he played right tackle in college, I was like, oh, let me go back and see how good he was. And, you know, and everything I saw was him on the left side. I was like, oh, maybe he took some snaps. But he was, I don't think he was
like
a
never a full time starter. Yeah. I don't know what the full logistics on that, honestly, but. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously, we got another test this week versus Baltimore, and then we assume he'll probably get another matchup where this is going to be a big one. NFC North guy, what is he going to do with Khalil Mack? That'll be week 4. So, Penei Sewell might have another, you know, test, and, you know, he just impressed me week in and week out, and I'm excited to see the development and growth of his game going forward.
2 games, 0 sacks, 1 penalty. I'll take it for a 20-year-old kid. I'll take it
for sure. Okay, and obviously protecting Jared Goff's blindside very well.
Yeah. So before we go to oopsie doopsie and ball of the week, I just got to bring up one thing. I want to talk about Jared Goff's first half performances and some of these throws that he was making that a lot of people thought that he couldn't make.
Unbelievable.
He was dropping dimes. I'm talking about just bucket passes, like buckets. He was dropping dimes.
You know what the biggest one was? The biggest one was the T.J. Hawkinson in that end zone.
The end zone catch. That was a beautiful play, man.
That was beautiful. And I'm not even trying to knock Matthew Stafford right here, but I don't know if I've ever seen Stafford make that throw in a Detroit uniform.
You haven't?
That type of throw? That beautifully plays back of the end zone. I feel like Stafford usually overthrows those a little bit. I'm not trying to say golf is better than Stafford, but as far as that throw in particular, Stafford, I don't know if I've ever seen Stafford make a throw that on like that money on the dime back of the end zone.
Golf was dropped that first half. He was dropping down. Even that Cephas 49 yard bomb he threw to Cephas.
Yeah.
It was just like Cephas didn't even have to slow down.
No.
He just kept running and then it just landed right there.
That was that we were just talking about the Lions offensive line too. That was a 3rd and 7 play too right there. The Lions gave Jared Goff some time. He made all his progressions, all his reads, and he sees Quintez Cephas.
Was that 3rd and 7 or was that a 3rd and 1?
It might have been 3rd and 1.
I think it was 3rd. I think that was a 3rd and 1 play.
It was a 3rd and short, and
King got
37 yarder.
King got killed that play.
But yeah, well, I mean, it's not to give Kevin King a pass, but the amount of time the Lions offensive line gave Jared Goff, he had to keep up with Cephas for a while. I mean, Cephas made like 3 different moves before he went out.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Jared Goff, man. That's the thing that he showed so much promise that first half. Do you think that he could possibly play? This is a stretch here. Can he do this for 4 quarters?
I got to see it. I gotta see it, man. I don't know, man. Like that first half was nice, but like the drop off from the first half to the second half was significant.
Oh, it was like 2 different quarterbacks. Like if you could have told yourself, like, all right, we're playing our backups now, what it looked like.
Let's say Buddy Earl coming from the liquor store. He's coming to watch Monday Night Football. You know, he missed the first half. Whatever. He was getting a 6-pack of beer for the boys. He goes, how's Jared Goff looking? All his friends saying, hey, yo, he looked great, making some great passes. All right, let's watch Jared Goff in the second half.
You know what you said?
This motherfucker was good.
He said, oh, brother, this guy stinks.
He goes, this is the motherfucker you guys talking about was good?
Oh, man. That meme, oh, brother, this guy stinks. They kills me, man.
That's
what he said.
SpongeBob episode when Squidward was performing a comedy show or something.
Yeah, he looked awful in the second half. I mean, there's no excuse.
Yeah,
there's no excuse. I mean, you could say the weather. It was just awful. The momentum just switched and.
I mean, the amount of excitement Lions fans had the first half, at least me, I could speak, and I could probably speak for you.
You saw me on Twitter.
The optimism. I was making voice audios on Twitter yesterday. I was that excited. I didn't even know what I was doing yesterday.
It just looked great, man. And that's what I thought, in the offseason. I was like, all right, we're going to surprise some people. We're going to look a lot better than we thought. That's what I envisioned.
Our offense looked like what I imagine.
And then the second half was like, shit, this is what everybody was telling me about.
This is the roll call.
this is what everybody was telling me about. Like, god damn, like, shit. But yeah, Jared Goff, I mean, ups and downs. Hopefully he gets it right. I guess we'll jump into the oopsie doopsie and baller of the week.
All right, who's balling?
I really wish I can give it to Jared Goff. I mean, if he would have played that the whole game, that would have been an easy, very easy decision. But he didn't. He played like doo-doo cheeks the second half. If I had to give it to a baller of the week, I'm gonna go with TJ Hockenson. If TJ Hockenson wasn't like he had an amazing catch.
He did have amazing receptions.
He had 8 receptions.
8 receptions?
9 targets, 8 receptions, 66 yards, and a touchdown. And what they did with him is they tried to take TJ Hockenson out of the game. They doubled him a lot. And he actually made a lot of his plays on those 3rd and 1s, 4th and 1. Those short yards play where the Packers were expecting them to run, TJ just got open because that's when he wasn't doubled. So TJ, you know, in this game, I'll have to give him the ball of the week. And I also want to give like a Cole, not a guy who, this is a guy who just showed a lot of effort in our wide receiving group. And that's Cephas. Quintez Cephas. I'm giving him a honorable mention as far as ball of the week. And the reason why I'm saying this is because he had a rough year, his rookie year. And this year, he's embracing that role. That he wants to be that number one guy. And I just want to mention that effort play that he did, that he almost came down with that one-hander.
Oh, that is unbelievable.
I would have turned the TV off and just said game over. I said, I want to watch the rest of the game. That one catch, just they won. They won. Based on that catch, they won. I don't care what the result is, they won. But this is the effort play from Cephas that I'm giving him honorable mention.
Fair. No, man. I mean, Cephas, not to go on too, you know, more into the episode, but Cephas is slowly getting the trust of the quarterback and slowly getting the trust, I think, of Anthony Lynn as well, to trust him in more situations. And obviously, they gave him a real big trust, and obviously didn't work out the 4th-and-1 play because that was to him. So they're giving him a lot of trust. And I'm all for it, for Quintez Cephas stepping up into this role, embracing the underdog role. And, you know, maybe he could be one of those long-term pieces. That would be really ideal for the Lions receiving core. I'm not saying he has to be the number one guy, but if he could be a starter going forward, or, you know, a high-end, you know, wide receiver 4, whatever it may be, that would be great for this Lions rebuild and, you know, figuring out that receiving corps.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so let's get into the oopsie doopsie of the week.
Play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
You know, it's hard to really like pinpoint this on one player, because I don't really think it was a one player performance on this. I think it was more of a team thing where they lost this game. And I can't blame any of the coaching staff, because we mentioned I think it was a good coached game by Dan Campbell.
Phenomenal job.
I think it was a good play calling game from both the coordinators, Anthony Lynn and Aaron Glenn. So I can't pin it on any of the coaches. And there wasn't, like, a single player that just, like, significantly stood out as, like, he was terrible. But, like, if I had to do it, I'd probably give it to the linebacking corps. I would say Jamie Collins and Alex Anzalone, just because, you know, we mentioned it wasn't great matchups for either of them. But, you know, you got to just take it for what it was. I mean, they're the reason why the Packers got Aaron Jones going a bit in, you know, in the receiving game and the run game. So, you know, if I had to pinpoint it, I would give it to those guys. They just had a tough time with Robert Tonyan, tough time with Aaron Jones, like I mentioned. So I'm going to give it to the starting linebacking corps with Alex Anzalone and Jamie Collins this week.
That's fair. I honestly thought, I originally thought, like, in my mind, I was like, oh, he's probably going to give it to Jared Goff. Just based off his second half.
I mean, I was considering it because, like we mentioned, it was a big reason why they lost this game was Jared Goff. Yeah. But I think the first half was just too good.
Too good.
To
play perfect.
He was in the contention, not going to lie. He was in the contention to be in the oopsie doopsie of the week. And I'm not giving him a free pass for the week because obviously that second half was awful. But
it was terrible.
But like when you put a first half performance like that,
he was perfect.
He made me even worse a little bit. I mean, not the full game, but the first half, he made me even worse a little bit. He can't make those big time throws. And I said he made a hell of a throw to T.J. Hockenson in that end zone.
He did. Even the first touchdown was nice. The when he found Cephas wide open, you know, he went through his reads and he saw that, you know, there was a breakdown in coverage and he found Cephas. So
again, credit to those trenches, man. They're giving Goff time for those plays.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, when we get Decker back, we're gonna have even more time. So that's something to look forward to, man.
Well, with that being said, that is a wrap to this episode, guys. I hope you guys all enjoyed our more thought-out process, I like to say, of this post-game versus the Green Bay Packers. That is it, the Green Bay Packers. We're done talking about them until we play them again at Ford Field, which that's far away from now. So we're not going to be talking about the Packers for a while. We got a Baltimore Ravens pregame coming up very soon. Sometime this week will be on your guys' feed, and we'll also be on Spotify Green Room again. this time on Sunday, obviously because the Lions are playing on Sunday. So back to the regular schedule. We'll be back on Sunday right after the inactives come out. So around, they come out at 11:30, so probably be around 12 o'clock. We'll be live on Green Room. We'll be live for a little bit there, and then we'll be live right after the Lions-Ravens game on Spotify Green Room. And I want to thank all you guys that were with us live after the game and before the game, particularly Packers. A lot of you guys showed up and were supporting our show during the pre- and post-game show, so it's always much appreciated if you guys can't, when you guys join. And if you can join, it's always much appreciated if you guys listen to our feed after, you know, if you couldn't make it live. So thank you guys so much. Leave a 5-star review if you can. I'm not going to ask for it, but leave it. And I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, and everything Tyler said. Yep. And I'm out. Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.